You know, I overheard a talk show radio program. I didn't catch exactly who was speaking on it, but they were talking about how drugged the United States population is. And when you drive down the street or down the freeway, down the road, wherever you go, you never know who is on drugs. There are many. The percentage that they were giving is probably like 8 out of 10 people that are driving towards you down the road are drugged with either prescription or illegal drugs of some kind. A lot of craziness is going on, and people are thinking very, very strange. And then you listen to the nightly news, of course, and you hear about the wars and rumors of wars. Israel is surrounded by their enemies. There are a lot of things going on. You can really feel the tension in the air of everything that's going on. We're like in this whirlpool, like I had mentioned one time before. We're like in a whirlpool that's going faster and faster and faster, going toward the end here, hopefully when the return of Christ comes. And that is the good news about the sermon today, is that in the end, Christ will return and will put down all the governments of the world. All the craziness that is going on is going to be done away with. Well, it goes to prove that there is a need for the healing of the mind. And that is the title of today's sermon, The Need for the Healing of the Mind. Adam and Eve's life started out in a very perfect condition. They lived in the Garden of Eden, and God provided them with everything that they needed. They loved and depended on their Father God. They didn't have to worry about anything. God was in charge of them and loved them very, very much. Well, we know how the story goes. God gave and taught His laws to them, which brings blessings to Adam and Eve, and they knew that they would be doing wrong if they would break them. And then we know, as the story goes, then Satan arrived. And I guess you could say it was probably a test. But Satan told lies about God the Father there to Eve, and her and Adam allowed sin to come into their lives. They allowed it. They were taught. They knew God's laws. They knew who they were depending upon. But they believed the lies that Satan told. God the Father said, you know, you can touch anything in the garden except that tree in the center. And if you touch it, you will surely die. They knew that. God told them that. Satan told a lie right in front of God the Father. He said that, you know, your eyes will be open. You won't surely die. We all know what the penalty of sin is. It is death. God told the truth. Satan was the liar. We know sin is like a cancer, a horrible, horrible cancer. It works like a disease. It causes all kinds of sickness. Sickness of the body, sickness of the mind. It causes people to think in all kinds of directions, exactly what Satan is teaching, what Satan loves. Satan hates all of us that are, especially those that are called by God. He also hates every other human being on the face of the earth. And this sickness of the body and the mind, there is a definite need for the healing of the mind. Definite need for that. Well, since Adam and Eve, the minds of all humans, even from birth, have been infected with this terminal cancer of sin. You can take a little baby, just a few days, a few weeks old, and you can see rebellion pop out in them. It is there from the beginning. Satan is working on all humans, doing his best to infect everyone with his diseases of sin. Again, we all have a need for the healing of the mind. God loves all of his created children. Makes no difference what part of the world they come from, what race they are. These are people that God has created, and He loves each and every one of us. And we know, you know, from nation to nation, they think differently. And they conjure up in their minds, because it is sparked from Satan, to do all sorts of idol worship, all sorts of little gods, little g gods that they can make of. They will worship those. They are not depending on God the Father who gave us all life. And in God's plan of salvation, He is calling some people out of each generation a little at a time. Not all at one time. We know this. He picks and chooses who He wants to call. And then the burden is on us to choose correctly. To be healed of this terminal cancer, God is calling us out to learn His truth, His laws, His statutes, which are His holy days, and what each of the holy days mean in His plan of salvation. We are called for a purpose. We are called for a purpose. We are called not to save our skins. We are called to do the work of God, each and every one of us, right now on this face of this earth and also in the world tomorrow. In God's coming kingdom, God has His plan worked out. This healing is also known as conversion. You know, and it is a process, a change that we are called and that we are going through. We are being converted. Our lives are being changed. We are only a few in numbers at this time to know these wonderful keys to this healing. And again, we are called to be taught, to be transformed, to be converted. God is preparing a people for His purpose, for His truth. Many, many sick minds are out there right now. You hear of people on street corners over in England being beheaded. Has to be one of the most gruesome and heinous ways to go. To just walk up and have somebody to have it in their mind that they're going to cut your head off. What horrible, horrible things that Satan has planted into the minds of humans. Terrible things. But like I said, there are a few of us that are called out to know God's truth. And it is up to us to choose to want to make that change. Let us turn to Colossians. We're probably going to stay in Colossians all the way through this sermon. Let's turn to Colossians 3. Let's read the first three verses here. It says, if. Now, if can be also translated as since. Since then you were raised from Christ, seek all things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. These scriptures have to do with change, has to do with the healing of the mind. And the change, if we choose to be changed, we can live. The payoff is to be living in God's kingdom in the world tomorrow. How wonderful that would be. In verse 3, it's talking about dying. And in verse 3 again there, it says, for you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's talking about dying of the old man or the old woman, whichever the case may be, and putting on the new man, new woman, while we are still in this human form. Back to verse one again there. It says, it mentioned in chapter 2 that a true Christian is seen as having died with Christ, having been buried with Him at baptism, you know, going down into this watery grave and then coming up out of there out of the watery grave as a new person. Let's turn back a page there to Colossians 2. Let's read about that. Colossians 2, let's read verses 11 through 13. Colossians 2, 11 through 13. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith. Faith, and how do we get faith? We get faith through the learning and the things that we are being taught of God's ways, of His truth, of His laws, His statutes. With Him through faith in working of the working of God, who raised Him, speaking of Jesus, from the dead. God the Father is in charge. We have many in this congregation right here that have loved ones that have died. They will be raised. They will be in the resurrection as well, too. This isn't the last go-around for people. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all trespasses. We know that Christ came to this earth for a purpose. He came here for the purpose of dying, paying the price for my sins and your sins and for every human sins. Satan himself, we know, is already judged. He knows what his outcome is going to be, and he is running wild, as suspected, doing what he can do to kill humans. The spiritual meaning of all of this is that we have to say goodbye to our former way of life and enter into a completely new way of life. And that is, you know, a life of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example. The example of Jesus Christ is our guideline that we need to be practicing daily and learning, depending on God, not thinking so pompous of ourselves that we are smart or anything like that at all. We have to be humble. Humble and to learn to express our lives as the example of Jesus Christ, as He did. So we should seek the things that are above. Learn what God wants us to think about things. That's what Colossians 3:2 is talking about. As a Christian, should not be earthbound in our thinking and outlook. We should view things not as they appear from the natural eye, but as their importance to God. God holds His laws and His Sabbath and His holy days very high importance for us to be thinking about and doing. Loving one another, forgiving one another, being united together in the thinking as Jesus Christ and the Father are. We need to know what God thinks about things. We hear all these philosophers and people on the face of the earth here that are teaching our children in schools. It's an abomination what they are being taught. They are taking God completely out of the picture. God is not even allowed to be mentioned in schools or in colleges. You may even get arrested for that or expelled from school. We are to be living like a citizen of heaven while we are here on earth. You know, we have to make that transformation in our mind. It's so easy to get caught up as we go through our daily life because we are talking and dealing with people that have no idea what we know. They just think, well, that they are peculiar people. They are different people. Yes, we are. And I'm so glad that we are. But they have no idea of the things that we think about and how we should think about it. We got to be careful that we don't let them rub off on us. And then in Colossians 3, let's turn back over there, 3:3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because of our identification with Christ in His death, we are identified when we are baptized with Him. God wants us to consider ourselves as having died with Him. Dying at baptism of this physical way of life. And then we are raised to be thinking like Jesus Christ. To be changing. You know, our conversion, it is both instant and it is a process. When you come up out of that water, it is instant. And all the way through your entire life, all the way through your entire life, it is a process. It is a growing period. Our own hearts, you know, are always ready to dispute this because we do live in the flesh, because we feel so very much alive to sin and temptation. There is no way of us guarding ourselves against temptation. We need to pray to God the Father to guide and direct our minds daily. But sin and temptation is out there, and Satan is trying to find that little crack in your armor, trying to see what our weaknesses are so that he can tempt us and cause us to sin. You know, when it's like back in Job, when God the Father asked Satan, when they all appeared before him, asked Satan, well, you know, what have you been doing? He said, well, I've been going to and fro, you know, across the earth, here and there. You know, that is just the little simple term that he was saying there when he was explaining what he had been doing. He was very vividly searching out the hearts of all humans, trying to find a crack in the armor, trying to hurt someone. So we know that he is on the job constantly. But the wonderful thing is that we know by faith, by what we are being taught, by how we are changing in our conversion daily as we are being taught. If we are doing our daily Bible study, we are feeding the Spirit that God has put in us. And by faith, we know we have died with Christ. And it becomes a moral reality in our lives. It is a transformation. If we live as those who have died, then our lives will become more confirmed to the way of life that Jesus wants us to be like Him. We have to keep up with our daily Bible study. We have to feed the Spirit that God has put in us. Not only have we died, but our life has become hidden with Christ in God. The things that concern and interest, you know, the worldly person, you know, all of the heinous things that you can see on television, you know, it's really dangerous to watch television. I mean, let alone go to a movie. But the heinous things that are being taught, I feel so sorry for all the little children that are exposed to television these days. There are all kinds of bad language, and they are promoting everything that Satan wants to kill a human with. Everything that there is. And it's hard to even watch the news. It's hard to be exposed in this world. But all the things that, you know, that are of interest to a person that doesn't have God's Holy Spirit, these are things that will kill you. And the person that we need to have in our lives, of course, is Jesus. And living the way that He lived. Our destiny is with Christ. And we have to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Paul's thought, the Apostle Paul, his thought is that since our life is hidden with Christ and God, we should not even worry ourselves with the petty things of this world. He looked at them as petty things of this world. How does the world look at them? Oh, it's the most important thing. You know, they will rob, cheat, and steal to get football tickets. That is the first thing on their mind. Or, you know, trying to cheat somebody out of something, trying to step on somebody else to get ahead. These are the important things to those people in their lives. Paul calls them, these are petty things in this world. And whatever we have, you know, when we die as humans, whatever we have is going to go to somebody else anyway. God said He would provide us with all that we need. We don't need to be out there trying our best, breaking the Sabbath or any of God's laws, or putting our minds on something else that we eventually would be considered a little g idol because of the things of this life. It's all going to go to someone else when we die. The only thing that we're going to leave this life with is our character. And Satan wants us to forget about that. He wants us to forget about that because God wants us to have the character of Jesus Christ. And Satan wants to wreck it. He wants to tell us that we are not going to make it. And there is another thought that is connected with this expression, your life is hidden with Christ and God. The world does not see our spiritual life. They do not understand us. They actually think it's very, very strange that we don't think about the things that they do, about wanting the things that they want and thriving on the things of this world. They don't understand because they don't understand our thoughts and our motives and our ways. We are hidden in Christ. And just as I said of the Holy Spirit, that the world neither sees Him nor knows Him, and so it is with our spiritual life. It is hidden with Christ in God. 1 John 3:1 says, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John 3:1 says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. They just knew that He was different. They look at us when we go to work with them, when we go to school with them, when we walk down the street with them. These people are different. Where are they on Saturday? They're not out here cutting the lawn, mowing the lawn. They're not out here going to the ball games with us. These people are different. How wonderful. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. We will appear with Jesus the Christ in glory. In glory, we will be in a spirit form, just as He is. Then all of the people that we knew will understand and realize why we behaved the way we did. We are called for a special job to bring others to Christ as well, too. We are the vehicle. We are the instrument that God will use. He uses a small, chosen group of people called out to know this truth. There are many around the world that would pay big money to understand, but they won't understand unless God does the calling. God the Father does the calling. He does the calling for Christ. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, which are fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. When the Apostle Paul says that we should put off or put to death our members which are here on earth, he doesn't mean that we should, you know, destroy an arm or a leg or an eye, our physical parts of our body. He is speaking figuratively, of course, and explains that the word members is what it does. It signifies the various forms of lust and hatred that humans have. And these are all habits that Satan is pounding into the minds from the time a person is a little baby all the way through their lives. Satan is broadcasting and pushing and teaching lust and hatred. Get more, steal more, it's all for you. It's all about you. Some of the examples there in that scripture about fornication, unmarried sex. God says it's wrong. Uncleanliness refers to impurity of thought, of your words, of your actions. It speaks of the moral filth rather than physical dirtiness. And there's a lot of moral filth that is going on. Satan's doing a wonderful job teaching our children and teaching us through every medium that there is. Books, TV, the internet. How wonderful life was before the internet and before all of this. We think about the good old days. Yes, they were good old days. Things were slower. You would actually sit down and write somebody a letter. And you would mail it and you would wait for a reply back. Now everything is totally instant. You drive down the highway. Almost everyone that is passing you or behind you or in front of you is texting. Everything is so instant. There are so many car crashes from this. It's unbelievable. Talk about defensive driving. We really have to do that. But it was the good old days when things were slower. We had time to think. Now Satan loves it because this whirlpool of life that we're flying in on this spaceship Earth is going faster and faster and faster. There's bad news to it and there's good news to it because we know the end is coming soon. We don't set dates, of course. Only God the Father knows when He is going to turn to Jesus and say, "Hey, it's time. Time to go back. Time to bring an end to this craziness. Time to really do the healing of the mind that is so needed." And then we come across passion, which denotes a strong, unbridled lust. Evil desire speaks of intense and often violent cravings of different sorts of things. Cravings can be turned into idols. Covetousness, in general, it means greediness, a desire to keep on getting more and more at any cost. At any cost. Break the Sabbath. Lie, cheat, and steal. Break all of God's laws at any cost to keep getting more and more and more. We came into this world broke and naked, and we're going to go out the same way. Except, you're going to take along your character, the only thing that you're going to bring with you. Colossians 3:6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience, every human that has ever lived, ever walked the face of this earth. People think they can commit sins that are so outrageous and escape punishment. God does give you a little leeway to see how you're thinking, what way that you're going to be turning. And as a sinner goes along, they think, "Well, you know, I got away with this." And they become more bolder as they go along. They think, "Well, you know, if I did this, it's not going to hurt to do a little bit more. Not going to hurt to try something else." But we know that God is not mocked. God knows everything and sees everything. And the wrath of God is going to come down upon the sons of disobedience. Especially those who know God's truth and decide to do wrong. We still have the choice. We have that choice daily as we go through our lives, and we had better be choosing correctly. Sins have their consequences in this life. People reap, all kinds of diseases in their body as a result of sexual immorality or other types of sins. Taking drugs. Like the man on the radio said, he says almost everybody in the United States is on some sort of drugs. You go to a doctor, A doctor is going to keep you as a patient. Why? He is going to find a drug that he needs to sell to you. And you will have to be coming back to him on a regular basis. He wants you to depend on him. God the Father says that Jesus Christ took the stripes for our healing. If we have enough faith to understand that and to believe that and depend on that. We weren't born taking drugs. And even more importantly, to those that are disobedient, the one who keeps on sinning will reap a terrible harvest of judgment on that day in the future when it comes. What a terrible harvest that will be. When you're standing before God the Father, and He wants to recall all the sins of your life right there in front of everyone, in front of Him, in front of Jesus Christ. Talk about trembling and gnashing of teeth. That would be a time for that. God is teaching us His laws, His truth, the way that He wants us to do, the way He wants us to obey Him. We had better make the right choice. There's no if, as it started off in Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, it should be rendered as since then you were raised with Christ. No if about it. No preposition. Colossians 3:7, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Talking about sins. Paul reminds us that we once indulged in these sins before our conversion, before our calling, before God brought us to this healing, the healing of the mind that He is bringing us to and blessing us with. But from the grace of God, the blessing that He is giving us with this wonderful knowledge He is giving us, He is delivering us from this impurity. He is healing our minds. That's what this conversion is. That's what this is all about. And in the process, He will use us to His glory to bring others to this healing of the mind. Our sins were a chapter in all of our lives that we do not want to go back to. Our sins are now covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we still sin daily? Yes, we do. But we should be repenting daily. That's why it's so very, very important for your daily Bible study. Let God talk to you through that Bible study, through the words that He is bringing out to you. Let Him burn those on your heart and on your mind so that you will remember. We now have a new life which is empowered by God's Holy Spirit. The rest of the world, we are hidden in Christ, in God. We are different. We have God's Holy Spirit, those who have been baptized and had hands laid on them. And we are to live as God wants us to live. For God does the work through us. Jesus was very, very important when He said to each and every one of us, we can do nothing on our own. Not one thing without Him, without God's Spirit. And as we go along in our conversion, we find that more vividly every day. We understand that. We can see that we really are nothing. And I mentioned this one time before. And Tina brought it up to me one day. She says, you know, God is a recycler. He made us from dirt. Very true. Very, very true. You know, the way that God wants us to live, you know, He says in Galatians 5:25, He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Live our lives according to the fruits of the Spirit.
It's very vivid, very well spelled out for us exactly how we should be living.
Back to Colossians in Colossians 8. But now, you must also put off these things. We need to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Paul points out that we have been redeemed at a tremendous cost. The blood of Jesus Christ, we are bought and paid for. And now we are to put off everything of the old man or the old woman, like you would take off a dirty garment. A dirty garment. You just want to peel it off and drop it. We are to replace that old garment with the fruits of the Spirit. And we know where they're found. They're found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You can read those for yourself. And as Pat and I have done, we have printed them off and put them on our refrigerator. We want to be hit in the face with them constantly. Because it's so easy to be distracted. We are to put filthy language out of our mouth. You know, it's got so right now. You can go to Walmart. You could go to any department store. You can be at some outing someplace on the street. Young people, teenagers, will come up and be right there. And you can have your grandchildren with you, your wife with you. They don't care. And they will spew out through their language every heinous word that you can dream of. And they have no guilt. They don't care who hears what they have to say. They are in charge of what they're doing to themselves, and Satan is spreading it through them. Galatians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, we know who the first liar was. Satan lied right in front of God the Father, about God the Father, to Eve. He's a liar and the father of it. Paul says, let your state of mind, be constant with your standing, with your actions, of how you live. Paul is talking about lying, and that is one of the things that belongs to the old man that we are to be taking off. And has no place with a child of God. We are a child of God. We are little babes when He calls us. And we are to be growing to maturity in our conversion, whatever number of days that we have left in this physical life. Some have more, some have less. But we need to be taking advantage of those. Again, Satan lied to Eve right before God the Father. And then in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. The image of God is not seen in the shape of our bodies. It is our language, the way we talk, the way we think, of how we are living our lives, what we are doing. It is in the beauty of the renewed mind, the healed heart and mind, that God is doing for us right now. He is healing our minds. He is healing our minds so that we can grow to have the character of God the Father. In the end, God will have no one that will offend in His coming kingdom. No one. He looks at each and every one. He does not show partiality to anyone. We have to remember that. We must be living by the fruits of the Spirit. We need to burn them into our hearts and our minds. Make the fruits of the Spirit habits that we live by, instead of the horrible, death-filled, Satan-filled, sin-filled habits that Satan is teaching.
Let's drop down to Colossians 3 through 4, or I'm sorry, 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, well, who is the elect of God? The called out ones. Those are the elect of God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, what are we to do with that garment, that new garment we're putting on? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If you harbor something against someone else, the only person that's hurting is you. Learn to forgive one another as we are called to do, to be united, to be one, as Jesus Christ and God the Father are, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If we want to be in God's kingdom, we will do that. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love. Think of others better than yourself. Paul describes the Christian graces, which are like putting on this new garment. The tender mercies, they speak of a heart with compassion. Kindness speaks of the unselfish spirit of doing for others. It is an attitude of affection and of goodwill. Again, think of others better than yourself. Give to other people, help other people. And then humility. It means lowliness, the willingness to be humbled and to esteem others better than yourself. Meekness does not mean weakness, of course, but rather being tamed. You can tame a dog, a horse, sometimes a cat, not always, but has to do with being tamed. God is taming us, not to depend on ourselves, not to run wild and do whatever we think or whatever that we are inspired from Satan to think. God is taming us. He is putting the fruits of the Spirit into our minds. He is healing our minds. And we all have a need for that. We are being tamed by learning and obeying God and having the strength to deny ourselves of what the world is out there producing, what the world is saying, what Satan is producing through them, and to walk in God's love and be the light that we are called to be. Again, we are not called to save our skins. We are called to be a light. That is a gigantic subject. There's many sermons that are taught about being the light of God and how we are to express that in our lives. Let's go down to Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. In one body. John 17 teaches us where Christ was praying to God the Father. He says, let them be one as you and I are one in our thinking and our doing. Be in agreement with God. And to always be thankful, be humble. God created us from nothing. He is allowing us to be alive for a purpose. We need to be very, very humble and thankful to God for everything that He is doing for us, for allowing us to live another day. Being thankful, God counts that in a person very, very important. Why? It shows our attitude to God. He looks on our hearts. He knows our minds. He finds that very, very pleasing to Him. Very pleasing to Him if we are thankful. We are being bombarded constantly with the wiles and the heathenistic things of Satan.
trying to infect everybody with the disease of sin. God the Father has called us out, and we need to take it very, very important in our lives. He has called us out to give us the healing of the mind. We all have that need. In closing, let's go to verse 25. I won't take too long today. Verse 25, let's drop down to there in Colossians 3. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Again, God looks on our hearts and our minds. And when it comes time for judgment day, we stand before God the Father and Jesus Christ there. He's not going to show any partiality. The proof's going to be in the pudding. The recording that we are putting into our minds all the seconds of our life is there to be played and to see how we did in this life with what God gave us. He gave us His truth, His laws, His holy days. The reckoning is going to be coming very, very soon. We're in this whirlpool that's going faster and faster and faster. And we can even see from our own government, our own president. It was on the news day before yesterday that he kept and ate the Ramadan supper. He is making laws and changing laws that are not in the Constitution. There are things that are going on. But the good news of this is nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. God is the one that puts our presidents in office. He's the one that also takes them down for His purpose. And His purpose is to allow these things to happen right now. The good news is those of us who have loved ones that have died won't be long. Won't be long and we will see them again. Things are rushing to an end. There is a desperate need for the healing of the mind. We all have that need. The rest of the world has that need. And we need to take advantage of it and allow God to heal us, to take very good care of us. So I'll be closing here. Let's remember one another. Let's learn to love one another. Let's learn to forgive one another. Let's learn to live by the fruits of God's Holy Spirit.